I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. I've got a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
It's great, but if you never put whatever you're learning, you don't retain it. You bring up often about if you take notes versus just listening, right? You're going to remember more.
And I'm going to throw some numbers at you real quick before he moves on. If you only listen, you will only retain 5%. 95% of your time sitting here today will be a waste. I'm a not waste time guy, ask my bride. I hate to waste minutes on foolishness, right? If you hear it and read it, you'll remember 35%. So how much will you waste? 65%. But if you hear it, read it, and write it, you will remember 85% of what went down today.
And then if you actually would go and apply what you learned, 100%. I don't know if there's numbers for that.
There's not. You'll be 100% engaged.
But there's going to be that memory of what to do. And sometimes, I know through me, even some of that memory comes through not doing what I knew I was supposed to do. You know, there was still an application piece to that.
You know, we always ask, listen up, we always ask, what did you see, what did you hear afterwards? We encourage you when you're driving home, when you're in fellowship. You don't have to run out of here and jump in your car and go. We got to put together VBS today because it's kid week, right? Woo-hoo. VBS is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This week, 9 to 1, super free, super fun, and we're going to water them down with a hose on Friday. They will come back drowned rats, wet kittens to you, right? What did you see? What did you hear? Brent, what did you see in the video? What did you hear from the video?
Well, so that's what she did. She brought a real-life application to what that gal wasn't giving time to actually process how she's living her life. You know, she was there to make money, make a sale, not necessarily talk about a spiritual aspect. But
what do you think Jesus would think of that price? I love that line.
And as Christians, I think we forget that, like, the spiritual and physical is not removed. Mm-hmm. You don't get the day off as a Christian, right. You know?
Well, you know, and one thing, when we talk about the Word of God and working, our life is not, here's my Word, here's my scheduler, here's my being a mom, my being a dad, my being a whatever. This is what our life looks like. Look up. Get your heads up. We go like this. We start with the Word, and through the lens of the Word, we see life. Do you understand? That's why having the Word to help shape, mold, and understand even more so is so important.
To help test.
The what did you see, what did you hear? Do you understand that that is probably the most important piece of mentoring that you can do? Carmen, how many years have I been saying that? What'd you see, what'd you hear? Mary, do you remember how long we've been doing what'd you see, what'd you hear? You know what would happen? Mary and I would go to church, and it's like, well, what did you hear today? Why do I want to know what she has? First of all, she's my bride. I want to hear what she has to say. But more than that, she's the Lord's girl. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking through her. I may learn something. How many times have you brought somebody to the church, and they said, what did you tell that pastor what I did today? Right? Or I'll ask somebody, what'd you see, what'd you hear? What'd you see, what'd you hear? And they'll say something that was not in anything that what we said, but the groundwork was laid for opened up. Mary?
Okay, I just wanted to add to that.
Okay. And I'm not the teacher. I'm not the principal. Yeah. You know what the deal is this, and I'll come back to you. Can somebody hand me one of those note cards real quick on the back? And it's on the backs of your seats. Hand it up here, Sugar. Thank you. What these are set up, first of all the information about us is here, even if it's wrong. But on the front here is all your general writing notes. Here is the key scripture and points. This one here is what we used to call your water cooler talk. What are you going to talk about when you're sitting there turning wrenches or something? And it's already laid out. Carmen, please.
I think I remember somebody saying something about application. Mm-hmm. So during the service, if I don't have something to say, that means I didn't take it and apply it. And that's just me. So whatever's being said, God is using those words to help me. Like you say, I may come up with something totally different than what the message was about, but that's God using that with me so that I can use His Word in my life.
Right.
If you
have a hard time with application, you have not asked the Lord, how can I apply this? Repeat after me, how?
How?
Lord.
Can I apply
this? Say it again. Go.
How, Lord, can I apply this?
There's your application. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do. Well, He didn't give me anything. You had too much pizza last night. You ate a chocolate bar at 1 o'clock in the morning and got up at 5. Or you're just not listening. Or He's not speaking to you at this time, you know?
Oftentimes it's being quick to listen, slow to speak, you know? Because I went through years of not getting anything, you mm-hmm. know? Because I guess phones weren't as advanced then as they are now. But you can, if you want to look for distractions, you're going to find them, you know? And I think for the Christian, how do we define responsibility? And I would say it's by, like, responding in faithful obedience to what God has said will happen if we go. You know, can't spell gospel without go, and go is two-thirds of God.
That's it. You know, we always talk, not yet. We always talk about when it's done, arise and go do the work of the Lord. Application is never problematic when you're tied into the Lord. You know, asked me what I had for dinner 17 days ago. Somebody asked me. Go ahead. I have no idea. But the food's working. It's still with me, right? That's how the word is. You may not know where it is, but it's still with you. It's okay if you don't know the address. Learn it. Right now, guess what language I'm learning?
Spanish.
Si. What was my word? My phrase. I talked to my brother yesterday, and I was like, you learned English. What did you do? And he says, I didn't learn word for word. They taught me to learn phrases, right? Phrases. And I forgot my phrase.
Estoy aquí ahora.
Estoy aquí ahora, which is I'm here in this hour. I'm here now, you know. And that's what I text Brent. Come on. Come on.
Whatever.
I don't know. That was yesterday. ¿Cómo está? Right? Come here, buddy. No. ¿Cómo está? What? No, we're not learning that one. She's listening. ¿Cómo está? Whatever. Look. You need mentors in your life. You need mentors in your life. Do you understand that we, I kind of look at mentor, mentee, but quite honestly, it depends on which way the role has been shifted. So, you know, there's times that Brent is teaching me things. There's times that I'm teaching Brent things. I need to be a good student, but I also need to be a good teacher. I can't just teach the way I know to everything. I have to learn about that person and find out what their fears are so I can support those fears with the information that needs to be delivered. How many of you have been gently nudged or tripped over my foot as I'm getting you outside your comfort zone? Anybody? Yeah, plenty. Well, do you know a comfort zone that you were outside of?
Early on.
Not much now, but
it was how to take this application and go. I'd already been like praying in front of people, but when it came to actually praying for someone, you called me out to pray for like my best friend, Zach, you know, mm-hmm. now with the Lord. And I didn't want to do it, man, in a church. The safest place to do it. Tried to hide in the back room.
Where there were
where
seven
everyone
other people.
Else went. I was like, you know what? Whatever, dude. It's just going to go down like this. Bro, how can I pray for you? You know? And even though we were good friends, I knew about his life. I knew what I could be praying for him for. What I've learned since the evolution of that time to now is when you are able to listen in conversation, the Lord's going to give you stuff that was in your devotion time that day or whenever, that you will know how to apply at the right time, that you don't have to necessarily even ask the questions, because when you are able to listen, you will be able to respond more appropriately. There's nothing wrong with asking, like, how can I? Because mm-hmm. I have also inserted foot into mouth by assuming what you can go for.
Yeah. Brother, did you have something? Real loud. From me to him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. So what he's talking about was something I was talking with him, and it's a kind of a twofold approach, is that whatever you're operating in, how is it going to have an effect 10 years from now in your life? So let's say you are talking about somebody behind their back. How's that going to open up wider? And by the way, 10 years ago, what did you do 10 years ago that's had a profound effect on you today, whether it be positive or negative?
Reaping and sowing.
Reaping and sowing. That's it. So when you're going through something, you're listening of the Word of God, and you're seeing something that He's making a correction in you. Nobody here is making a correction in you. Only the Holy Spirit does that. It's not our job. Our job is to speak whatever the Holy Spirit has, and He do whatever He wants to change in you, to draw Him closer to Him, to bring glory to His name through the work you do. Sin-stained as we all are, go and affecting a group of people that need to hear.
And there's such a variation or a variety of ways to do that. We get like pigeonholed in thinking that we either have to be a pastor or a missionary.
Priesthood of believers. He didn't say what the priesthood looked like. Do you understand? We read that in Peter. Say, I am. Part of a priesthood of believers.
Part of a priesthood of believers.
I'm a priest. I'm a priest. Whoa, now, I'm a priest.
I'm a priest.
Say it. I'm a priest. Yeah. That's what you are. Well, Dave, I don't have a frock. I don't have an ephod. I don't have the ringlets. Dude, it doesn't. Pelon? Hairless? Right? Priest Pelon. Pastor Pelon. That means pastor without hair.
Well, and I think we'd gone over it Thursday night talking, or maybe it was yesterday at the men's, but about seeing yourself as 100% paid vocationary missionary at your workplace.
That was Thursday night, yeah.
And when you have that mindset, it really gives you this refreshed, renewed life of actually the purpose of why you're at work. You know, I know for myself and my wife, the opportunity to pray for coworkers and just people that come about your day as you're at work, those are little life changes that will last for an eternity, you know? And yes, you're still being a good worker because you're working as unto the Lord. You're still getting the job done. You are not just gossiping at the water cooler thinking you're doing God's work.
We invest in each other. Look around the room. Here we go. You got a neck that works, right? Look around the room. Look at people. Do you understand that they're valuable? There was a value that was put on your life, and it was at the cost of the life of Christ so that we can have a relationship with Him. Listen in. Listen in. Remember your value. You were bought at a price. Listen. You have value. I'm not pumping you up and go, oh, look at me, value me, selfie. No. Stop doing selfies. You smile, and then you look frowned. You're like, stop that. You're not smiling all the time. Show them like I'm having a great time at the beach. It's not about you. You're being mentored right now. It is not about you. But He died for you. That you could do His work. Do you understand? What am I doing today that 10 years from now is it going to look like? Am I seed planting things that are going to grow in His likeness for His glory? If not, go to hell. Because that's what's happening. When you're not glorifying God, you're glorifying Satan. There's not a third choice. Do you understand? I didn't tell you to go to hell. That's the imply.
Well, and that's the attitude that we'll carry.
Absolutely,
it
is.
That. You know, when you go out and you do scatter seed, we are told to produce good fruit. And because we live in a society where everything's so instantaneous, we forget about the patience needed. And yet that's one of the qualities of God, right? He is able to long suffer.
It's right patient. There. It's on your 2 Peter 3:9. If you want a wristband, they're back under where it says gathering in the back. We got little, large, and mediums. Half and half. You're mutually learning from one another. But understand one thing. It's a place in a mentor-mentee relationship, husband, wife, children, whoever's overseeing. It's okay for them to make mistakes. Teach them it's allowable to make mistakes. They just can't keep making the same ones. You know, I talk to guys who, because I'm a motorcycle rider, guys who ride motorcycle without a helmet, right? I tell them, double up your fist and go find a brick wall and hit it. I mean, hit, bam. They won't. I've never had a taker yet. And that's just a fist. But in here is everything. My memories, my thoughts. It makes my heart beat and my breathing happen. My eyes blink and I don't even have to think about it. Everything is stored here. You can process 14 times the smartest computer, and God wired you at that. Why would I not protect that? Why would I not learn about the love of the Lord? Why would I not show that to other people? Why would I not raise my children in that way? Why would I not sacrifice? Why would I not seek the healing that He brings to our soul? Make a fist, go out to the street, and start pounding it with your hand. You understand the difference? It's okay to make mistakes. It's allowed. I've never prayed with somebody publicly. I've never laid healing hands on somebody. I've never even spoken the word of God. Well, go learn. Well, I read it in pig Latin. Okay. It's okay. Go practice. Go learn listening to His voice. This is not the voice of God. This is not the voice of God. God speaks. The Holy Spirit gives you imply. He gives you understanding. He gives you insight. Stop blowing it by not being engaged in love. And the first attribute of love is, begins with an M. It has an E in it. R, huh? Me, no. Selfie, no. M-E-R-C-Y.
Mercy.
¿Cómo se dice? Mercy. Misericordia. Misericordia. Say it. Misericordia. I want you to learn that word today, huh? Misericordia. That's what I said. Misericordia. Cordia?
Cordia.
Cordia. Misericordia. I got a new word. Misericordia. Freedom. Mercy. Learn it. Live it. Grow with it, right? What are the drawbacks? When you put too much of you on the outcome of an individual. You know, one of our goals is when Brent and Molly, it looked like God was doing something in their lives, and we just kind of quietly just watched, as we, with many of you, we would just watch and see what God is doing. And gave them a lot of insight ahead of time of what could happen. Watch for this. Be careful of that. You know, you're going into the work of the Lord. Be ready for more attacks. If you're not under attack, you're in the rear with the gear. And if you're not a supply officer, get back on the front line. I will tell you, I was not a Marine. I was an Air Force man. And we had, I guess today you call it Black Ops, right? So Marines, they never put their gun down. I don't care if you're a cook, you're a chef, you're an inventory specialist, you're an admin. You're a Marine first for them. And you're a rifleman before you're anything else. Well, that's you. You're a man and woman of God. Say, I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God, appropriately. Yeah. Jordan, quit saying you're a woman of God. Kidding. I'm kidding. Who mentored Timothy?
Paul.
Nope. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Who was his first mentor? His mama. And his grandma. Abuelita. Yeah? Isn't that something? Oh, you don't think a woman has a role in life? Who bore that little knucklehead? They did such a good job with him feeding a steady diet of the Old Testament. Do you know that's where all the mercy is? The Old Testament? Do you know that's where all the grace is? The Old Testament? The Old Testament's just an angry old God without his Santa suit. No, dude, that's where all of it is. From the beginning, and then Revelation is kind of like the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's revelatory. It's revealing Christ. And all the ones in between are just letters talking about the condition of man, which we're going to be studying. And now Paul is writing these letters to Timothy. Paul was an amazing teacher. He had the teacher of teachers in Gamaliel. He was the student of students. He would have had at least one, if not two or three PhDs in the Old Testament, in Jewish law. And when he got it, scales removed 3 days later on the road to Emmaus. And he went, bro, I can go now. Because I'm going with the heart that I'm supposed to go with.
And those scales, like, I know when I was younger, I always saw scales of, like, reptilian-type scales, but it's like the scales of law and justice, order, removed. And it was like, oh, legalism, removed, and you saw love.
Absolutely. The essence of the law. Did you see how the lady was talking about the workaday world? Do you like cop? Do you go to church? Oh, occasionally. What, does your pastor not teach every Sunday? Well, that was such a great question. What is she telling her in that imply? Go. Your pastor's there. You might may ought to want to be there. Right? That's something?
Well, and how often do we just come to be fed? And that's such a capitalist type mentality. But I think oftentimes we forget, as the priesthood of believers, you might have the word for that individual. It's not just you who are there to fix someone.
Right.
It's in the company of believers, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is there. So he will use you to build that relationship with that person that can help get them over whatever it is. You know, the power of our testimony, testimony. And we've passed a test with our own testimony. And so we help someone else along that way. And thank God it's an open book test, you know.
Yeah.
That's where
you get to cheat.
The Holy Spirit, he gives you those affirming words through his word.
Absolutely. Oh, honey, I just want to sleep in. I don't want to go to church today. I just want to have waffles, egg, and some bacon. Honey, you have to go to church. You're the pastor.
And the days you get attacked the most?
Is the days you need to be here the most.
Yep.
You know, I buried my father here recently. And I talked to Brent ahead of time. I said, I'm probably not going to be there the day after. My family's going to probably gather and have breakfast. And they all disbanded pretty quick on that Sunday. And Mary's like, you're going to get up and go to church? So I was like, no, I've already set it up. I'm taking a day to regroup. Because after that final grasp of dirt dropped into his grave is when I firstly cried after the months of lament. And I got up in my eyes, but I couldn't get out of bed. I was like, I didn't ask the Lord to put my foot, because usually if I'm having a hard day, I said, Lord, just stick my toe on the floor. If I get one foot on the floor, the other one's in the grave. No, I'm kidding. Where I stepped in is on a banana peel, right? And I was like, I can brush my teeth. Well, you know what? I can wash my face. There's the shower. Yeah, I can do a shower. And I'm not thinking about church, understand? And I can dry off. I can clothe. Maybe I eat something. Well, maybe I can get in the car. Not a time to ride motorcycle that day. Just get in the car. Maybe I can drive and just sit in the gathering space. And I don't want to talk to anybody because I have nothing to receive and I have nothing to give. And I walk in and I see Josh Barnett. And then I walk past him after a hug and somebody had taken a chair out to rest their foot and my bride was sitting back over here and there was a chair open next to her quite a few minutes into the message. And I just sat there. I wasn't able to receive anything. I just sat there. And then he plays the last song and I'm like, maybe I can go play a song. And then when he was done, he goes, hey, Dave, with his Brent boyish smile. Hey, Dave. Hey, buddy. How you doing? I need prayer. I'm a man undone. Some of you here that day? I'm a man undone. I have nothing. I need you to pray for me. And guess what you did? You turned your back on me, walked out the door, and went, nah, 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 nah. You did not do that. You came up in groves, men, and laid hands on me. And a couple of women did too. Many of you prayed from your seat. Had I not come in that day, I would have not been able to receive from you what I needed, which was the Holy Spirit using you to help heal my sores and my wounds. Do you understand how important that is? Do you understand the importance of mentoring and menteeing? You saw that woman mentoring that other woman with her hot, cold coffee and asking her the questions. Would you say, well, I'd say we know Jesus. Well, you don't seem to act like it.
Well, the okay for vulnerability, right?
Absolutely.
That was very vulnerable for you to do.
Oh, on the coming up? Yeah, guys, I didn't want to go. And what do I always say, man? If you're sick or if you're having a hard time or if it just sucks to be you, come into church. It's the best time to be here. You know what? Guess what? It was the best time to be here. And guess what I could rely on? The Holy Spirit working through each and every one of you. Thank you. It's not about me, just so you know. It's just a story that you can learn. And you can sit here and make up your excuses. And they're like hair. Everybody's got a little bit or a lot. That wasn't slight. It's just illustrative difference. You know? And you're just there to be humbly used. Jesus, I just want to be used by you today. I'm done. Yeah, man, you want to go throw some ball?
I do.
Okay. Do you understand? We get to learn and teach the things we should do and the things we should not do. The Bible is such a book of options. It says, you do this, but that. Don't be drunk on wine, but instead be filled with it. It didn't say be drunk on the Holy Spirit. That's an intoxicant for an intoxicant. It says, do not be drunk on wine in Ephesians 4.
Because it'll ruin your life.
But instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bro, I'm going to tell you right now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, He uses you when you're most worn out. I was up till 1:30 and got up at 5 today, and I'm like, oh, you're going to use me today, Lord, sir.
Oh, there's no high like the Most High. Mm-hmm. You know, when you actually get that moment of, we do call it spiritual highs, you know, of like, oh, man, all because you made yourself available for that moment. You know? And then for whatever reason, we let the doubt creep back in, and then we'll say, oh, but not us, not that way, you know.
So Paul was able to teach as Jesus does, the things to do and not do, right? What words we should use and not use. How we should say and not say. He really gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, 2 eyes to observe, 2 ears to listen more. He spent time with us. Every time you ask the Holy Spirit to spend time with you, guess what He does?
Woohoo!
Spends time with you. And He sounds like that, woohoo. And when you're done, He goes, yee-haw. So between the woo-hoo and the yee-haw, you're going to get a lot of Him, y'all. Time and the word spent. Amazing what this word can do. Can rip your light apart and then put it all back together again. You know? Spent time in prayer. That's the big one, Luke 17. Spent time in prayer.
John What's 17. This? Yeah.
Yeah, that. Did I say John 17 or Luke 17?
You said Luke. I said John.
Okay.
Is it John?
I don't remember. Figure it out. What's the student's job? To listen, and he'll figure it out because I trust the Holy Spirit. And that's you're hearing our little banter and talk. Hey, he'll figure it out. And you'll get blessed and you won't even know it. You will know it. Just to listen is to own up. You have a responsibility to engage. Let me tell you something. When I hear somebody say, oh, I know, and I say that too. I think it's kind of habit. Do you know I stop teaching? When I show somebody and they start saying, I know, I stop teaching. Do you know why? Oh, you know. Okay, well, you know it. Well, no. You said you know. You're good. You know, when I work with people, I show them how to teach. I teach goal setting, you know, just in general. I think you should have a plan or you won't. You already have a plan if you do nothing, and it's to do nothing.
And you'll achieve it.
And you'll achieve it. I did nothing today, and I've been doing nothing for 17 years. I'm not that way. Short-term goals, 0 to 6 months. Long-term goals, 6 months to a year. Short-term objective, 1 year to 5 year. Long-term objective, 5 years plus. I was talking with an individual the other day, and I said, how's your goals going? Oh, I threw them away. I was like, you did what? He said, I threw them away. I said, why would you do that? I said, you threw the stuff I taught you in the trash? I mean, we're showing you how to get beyond whatever you're trying to get beyond in life. I said, you need to do them again or there won't be a third time. Well, you can tell me that the third time that I need to go. I said, no, there won't be a third time. Because if you've asked me to help you, you've called me into your life to help you, I'm going to help you. But if you choose not to be helped, I am not going to help you. I will put 80% of my time on 20% of the people that want to learn. And the other 80% that don't want to learn, you'll get 20% of my time shared. Do you understand? My time is valuable. If they did, if a pastor did what every person thinks that they should do, they would have for their wife, their personal study, their sleep, their personal growth, their business growth, 15 minutes every week. I have a time and I have a life, and our time together is precious and it's valuable, and we're growing towards the Lord.
You don't just work 1 hour a week.
I don't. There's only one thing I do an hour a week, and I don't even know what that is. I'm constantly going. When people say, oh, I missed an appointment, it's all right, dude, I got a book of work to do. What are you making this about the Dave Show? No. I love living my life for the Lord, and I have God things that are going on. And I try to spend my time doing this so when those calls come in, I'm ready for them. Are you ready? You know you got people that call you. You know you got people that you need to pray for. You want to hear about prayer? Is that the one where he's praying? Good. Which is it?
So John 17.
It's not Luke 17. It's John 17.
It's the prayer of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so here we're going to see in the first five verses that Jesus is going to pray for himself. And then 6 to 19, pray for his disciples. And then 20 through 26, he's going to include really all the church, which includes you here today at Outpost Calvary. So John 17. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Verse 4. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. Verse 9. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you've given them to me, so they may bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one would be lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Verse 13. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Verse 20. I am praying not only for the disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you. That's me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them.
The unity of the church is silliness in the sense if we're not unified to the Holy Spirit, if we're not unified to God through Jesus. That's all the unity that I see. I pray that they will be united with us. Wow. To do his ways. What did he teach? What did he teach for us to do? What, wash feet? Well, yeah. He taught us to love the lost. He taught us to bring vision, you know, to the visionless. To train the visionless. Without vision, the people perish, you know. He taught us how to cast out the demonic. That happened Thursday night here at the end of service. Dude, this stuff happens all the time. We had sometime within the last 2 or 3 months, a guy sitting over here, and he looked over there, and he saw an apparition. And he looked away, and he saw a holy glow over he and I. And I was like, it's just our radiant personality.
And then it was shortly after that that we had another encounter mm-hmm. that was just us. But that Thursday night was mm-hmm. everyone here Thursday night.
It's crazy to see and do the work of the Lord. Do you think I walk in fear on that? Ask me if I walk in fear on that. No is the answer. Why? Because we have the authority of Christ to kick that stuff out. Dude, you know, Satan could be, oh, blah, 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 blah. You don't have any faith. Well, I may not have any faith, but I'll tell you what, I got a name of Jesus.
I know a guy.
I know a guy who's got a guy, you know, that'll kick him out. That's not some crazy stuff. He told us that would happen. The full armor of God, our battles against spiritual and principalities in that regard. It's not an unusual thing. It's only unusual because we're not involved. He taught us how to pray, and he seeked the Lord in doing so. You just heard it.
When he reveals that, like, we are Christ's gift, and then Christ is our gift.
Absolutely. Timothy was a good student. Paul helped him by clearing the path of false teachers that were going on. There was some crazy stuff going on, man. Women were coming in and making it a fashion show. You know what? The women that couldn't afford the stuff that they were wearing made them feel bad. The ooga eyes from the guys watching them come in. That is not coming in humility. That's coming in pride. Men that were trying to teach for their own pocket linings, that's one of the first things he did. He cast a couple of false teachers out. Not prophets, false teachers. They were teaching man's constructs, not the things of the Lord. That's a good mentor. Watch out for these things. Look at Timothy, you're young, but don't let your youth get in the way, and don't let you think that you're youth or you're old. We need as many Calebs as we need Timothys. You know, Joshua didn't get on the ball till he was 65. He just did the labor up until that point. None of this that we do works without prayer. Do you know that?
Well, like, I see it as a walk, right? So prayer is one leg of that walk. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the faithful application of that prayer, you are just hobbling along.
You gotta put it into action. James, Jesus' brother, was clear. I kind of sometimes, and this is just a Dave thought, but I kind of sometimes wonder, James did so little in the gospel accounts. He kind of came up late to the show. But you know, a prophet isn't even considered in his own family. What other things did he teach? Jesus taught how to wait on the Lord. Are you listening? Jesus taught how to wait on the Lord. His waking times that were non-teaching times were spent in this presence of the Lord. Are you guys spending time with the Lord? Listen, are you up earlier in the day? Whatever your day start, I don't care if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to have that time with the Lord. It doesn't have to be, oh, thee and thou art and blah, blah. You just be laying in bed with a Cheeto in your hand. I don't know. But you're talking to the Lord, you know. You're there. We're back to prayer. We stay in prayer. Again, true unity is thus us with him. We're to be unified with him, but not ourselves. I get tired of the denominationalism of unity, because to me it sounds like man's constructs. I just think it's so much easier just unify with the purposes of the Lord. If we, and I think you alluded to that earlier, what would have happened, Reinhard Bonnke, if the church unified unto the Lord alone? Can you imagine? I can only imagine. I'm not saying that the body of Christ isn't important. I'm saying that the way we go about unity may look a little off-putting. Unify to the Lord. Love your brothers and sisters. Bottom line, we do what God would have us do. You need to be praying for people. I need a cue on the video. You need to be praying for people. We heard the Lord's Prayer, right? We heard the people praying. I love this other line in this movie at the tail end. You want to hear a woman praying? You want to hear a black woman praying? You want to hear a black woman from the South praying? Oh, son, we all have various cultures that bring it. Last piece for me. One of my mentees at a job that I was at, I managed a fair amount of people and taught a fair amount of people. And she said, you know, I could always tell when Dave was serious or when he was up in my grill, because there was no defined or refined accent. South came out of my mouth. Girl, now I'm going to tell you right now, this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be this way now. When my South comes out, I'm not playing games, right? Neither is the person in this film. Roll film, please give audio. Lights.
Done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Woo. know about y'all, but I get a little goosebumps there. Do you understand? You have the king recorded by John, self-proclaimed who Jesus loved the most. You have that. You have an example of your own prayer life and the challenges within prayer. And you have this, man, I want to go hang out in her prayer closet, y'all. I'm telling you.
What?
And you know something, real quick? You know something? I want to hang out in George Mueller's prayer closet. If you've never read George Mueller's, the book on him, you may want to get a paper. We may have a couple of them back here on the deck. You have the power of God at your use, not disposal. To me, that sounds like throwing away. You have the ability and the insight and the Holy Spirit to raise your prayer life to another level. And I am telling you right now, we need your prayers. We're going into VBS. Some of you are going to stay and help and set this up in a couple of minutes. We're going to have sandwiches, which are burritos made by Europeans. We need you to pray. There are children that are going to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ that poop their pants and not this week. There's going to be volunteers that are going to give their lives to Christ this week. And having the enemy, because three chairs over right there, when hands were laid after prayerful time to release the spirit of darkness that was in that person, they began writhing and speaking satanic language. We need your prayers. And you need your prayers. You need to start out exalting the Lord. That's what the whole Our Father is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You start out with praise and adoration of the Lord. Yes, there's time of informal prayer. There's time of exalted prayer. Because it straightens you up in the throne room. Of throne rooms.
It reminds us who we're actually praying to, communicating with. You know, I think at the end of that movie when they go to sell the house, I don't know if it's a pastor or whoever's buying it, but he can sense that, whoo, someone's been praying in there.
Yeah. And that stuff's live and real, right? So what did you that have taken your notes today or have minds like a steel trap, what have you heard? Go. Loud. Jonathan.
John 17.
Isabel, you're on deck.
Verses 16 through 19 really stood out to me. I really like the translation from the New King James.
Okay, please go.
It goes, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I like that just because the word sanctify is to be set aside for a holy purpose. And that's what God did for himself. He set himself aside to be sacrificed on our behalf so that we can be sanctified for the work that he has for us in our lives. The same way that I go out and pray for people, other people do their ministry, their work, they're sanctified for that purpose. And that's what really stood out to me in that, like in today's message, is just do the work no matter what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
Losing it. And my wife said something one day is that like every time we started praying for other people. And we started doing that. And we started putting his people, God's people first, instead of praying for us, all of us, or our finances, this or this, or whatever it is. And we started doing that. We started praying for our neighbors. They have problems or whatever, just whatever they are, what they are, God, Lord. Just change them. That the presence of God will just change our neighborhood. Mm. So that's what God means.
Do you live here in town?
No. We live in North Smith.
Okay. Continue that prayer, man. We live in Commerce. And add to this town your prayers. Can you? Start right from this church and concentrically pray. Was there anything else, sir?
No.
Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, Isabel. Real loud, sweetie.
The biggest thing that jumped out to me today was remembering your value. Mm. That we were bought at a price, but that it's not about us, that we were bought so that we can do His work. Mm. That we were saved for the work that we need to go out and do for ourselves.
From your brain, what does knowing that you have value speak to you?
It speaks a lot. Because, sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I should be worth God's time or worth anyone's time.
And yet you are.
But yet, I know we need to be reminded of that Jesus didn't die for specific people. He died for all because of all our worth and His eyes.
You ready to get uncomfortable?
Well,
are you ready to get uncomfortable? All right. Okay, now's the time. I'm God's girl. Go ahead. Come on. 3, 2, 1. I'm God's girl.
Yeah.
That's so great. I wish you could see the smile on your face because it is so full and genuine. What do you have, brother? Uncle Brent. What is a thing that God has shown you through mentoring? I don't know what you're going through, and I'll be there, is what I'm hearing you say. Is that right? Close to it? Douglas, real loud. A little louder, please. What does that look like, Douglas?
It's prayer and scripture.
Okay, you start there. Sir, what's your name? You?
Mike. Josh.
Dave. Good to meet you. This is Brent. Josh? Do you have Douglas's phone number?
Yeah, we're friends.
Oh, you are friends?
Yeah, my friend, yeah.
Do you have his phone number?
Yes.
Can y'all get on the phone on speakerphone and start praying together? Can that happen? No, okay, pretty sure. Look at each other. Get the affirming nod.
Call him up right now.
Hang on. Call him right now and just, yeah, there you go. And what's your name, ma'am?
Sharice.
Dave. Hi, how you doing, Sharice? This is Brent. Do you know that woman? Do you have her number? Do you know this woman? Do you know this woman? It wasn't no yeah, that was a heck yeah. That was a yeehaw, yeah. All right. So y'all are going to start praying for this body. Are we clear? Can you handle that? The name of this church is Outpost Calvary Chapel. And whatever God lays on y'all's hearts, y'all pick a time, preferably every day at 5 a.m. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just
3:40
kidding.
3:40 a.m.
It was 3:42, yeah. Pick the time and put it in your calendar. Be accountability to one another. And pray. Josh? Dave? Douglas needs you. Look at my eyes. Douglas needs your help. Douglas, look at my eyes. Receive his help. Douglas, look at my eyes. No more. Today forward. The rest of this day, what is today?
Sunday.
Thank you. The rest of Sunday, the 18th, Douglas, this is the last day you lament over the 8 years. Do you understand? I want you, look at me. I want you to have all your tears come out of your eyes today. I want you to cry like a boy that's this big that somebody took his Cheetos. I want you to cry heavy. Look at me. I want you to cry heavy. I want you to cry hard. And tomorrow, look at me. I don't want you looking back anymore. Are we okay with that? Are you okay with me speaking firmly but with intense love? Okay. No mas. See? No more. Today's the last day. What day is today?
18th.
What's the date?
18th.
Say it. This is your last day of you concerning over what you're not doing. Okay? Josh, are you prepared to help him? Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah. That's what brothers do, right? Frank, what did you hear? Frank, come up here and sit with me. Did you see that look? Many of you know this look. Oh, can I give you got me one? Have a seat here, Frank. Have a seat there. I love you. Get in front of that mic because you're going to pray for us. You're going to pray us out. You're going to pray us out. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Frank, look at me. Look at me. I need your prayer. Lay hands on him, sir. Come up and lay hands on him, sir. Come up, sir. Come up. Sir, come up. Sir, come up. All the sirs in here. Little sir, come here. Come here. Come here. Take him, bring him, Josh. Jonathan, I'm going to ask that you pray in Spanish for this man. And the reason I want you to pray in Spanish, because you articulate beautifully. And then, Javi, in Spanish for you, please. Okay? And then the rest of you, whatever God has for you. Frank, look at my eyes. Don't be mad at me. Look at my eyes. I love you, Frank. Hey,